says, "Hi, I'm Michael Bauer with the New York State Department of Health." But then I realized I forgot to say who I was on the last one, so I guess Karen knows me well. And I'm filling in for Karen. She's unfortunately, she was unable to attend this year's conference. She's disappointed and wanted to let you all know that hopefully she'll be in Alaska. Hopefully any of us will be in Alaska. So the national estimates of non-fatal injuries and illnesses are provided. Oh, Alicia is handing out all the, oh, and Erica, great, handing out all the questions that are part of the SOI interviews, questions and the answers, just so you have a sort of a take home and know all the, if you're curious, some more detail about the questions. So the national estimates of non-fatal injuries and illnesses are provided by the Bureau of Labor Statistics Survey of Occupational Injury and Illnesses, commonly known as SOI. Employers completed the SOI using OSHA logs and other injury and illness records kept by employers throughout the survey year to better understand and the recording practices and establishments. New York, along with three other states, received funding from BLS to conduct interviews with employers who completed the SOI in 2011. The interview included questions, which you're getting now, on the company characteristics, company's workplace injury illness reporting, and the respondent's role in the process. It also includes questions on respondent's training and experience, as well as a set of hypothetical injury scenarios. That's what you're getting now. And questions relevant to the OSHA record-keeping regulations. The focus of this talk are these scenarios and its measurements of trained and untrained respondents' knowledge on recordability. In general, an injury or illness is recordable if it is the result of any of the following: death, days away from work, restricted work, or transfer to another job, medical treatment beyond first aid, or loss of consciousness. During the interview, there were four main hypothetical situations, and two of the scenarios had the following parts. The respondent was asked whether the four situations would be recordable on the OSHA log. One of the follow-up questions asked how many days to record, and another question involved updating an old injury. The complete list of all the scenarios located, not in the back of the room anymore, as well as the explanation on the appropriate responses. Overall, only 18% got all six of the questions correct. Half of the participants got one or two questions wrong. So how did the trained respondents do compared to the untrained respondents? As it is probably the case for most aspects of life, being trained on something increases your knowledge in that subject area. This is also the case when measuring a person's knowledge of the OSHA record-keeping process. Approximately one-third of our respondents received formal training on OSHA record-keeping, such as classes, seminars, or online trainings. These people were 3.5 times more likely to get the perfect score than a respondent with no training, 32% to 9%. With 37% of the untrained respondents getting three or more scenarios incorrect compared to only 14% of those who received training. There are two questions with which the respondent had most difficulty regarding the training. These were also the questions in which we saw the greatest disparity between trained and untrained respondents. The two questions were scenario one and the follow-up question to scenario two regarding the number of days away from work to record. The other scenarios, the trained respondents did do better than the unrestrained respondents. Overall, the respondents did reasonably well. First scenario read, an employer injured his ribs at work and went to have an x-ray. The rib was not broken and he had no further medical care. Is this an OSHA recordable injury? Shout out. The correct answer is no. In this scenario, the correct answer is no. Someone may have incorrectly answered yes if they did not know the diagnostic procedures alone are not considered medical treatment and therefore not recordable. They may also have answered yes if the respondent records all injuries into an OSHA log. This issue of recording all injuries regardless of meeting the recordability criteria has been a concern. The second most common incorrect response was whether the respondent would record any days away from work in the following scenario. An employee cut his arm at work on Friday. His doctor recommended he take 2 days off from work. He was not scheduled to work the weekend and he returned to work on Monday. Is this a OSHA recordable injury, and would you record any days away from work? Yes, it is a recordable injury, and 2 days, he would report. While over three quarters of respondents knew that this injury should be reported, only 39% knew it to record 2 days, with twice as many of the trained respondents, 58%, getting it correct than the untrained, 28%. When recording days away from work on an OSHA log, you must count calendar days, not scheduled work days. This is a rule that many of the respondents were not familiar with. While training did increase the percentage of respondents getting questions correct, still only one-third of the trained respondents got all the questions correct. Even the trained respondents had difficulty with questions that may be an indicator of recording all injuries. In addition, only slightly more than half the trained respondents understood the recording calendar days versus scheduled work days. While OSHA record-keeping training does increase overall knowledge, it may not be feasible or worthwhile. Many of the SOI participants are exempt from keeping the OSHA log when they are not participating in SOI, and many may only be selected to participate in the SOI in one survey year. A computer-based reporting system with built-in prompts may be a better solution. These prompts may help clarify that the injury being reported meets the recording criteria and provide reminders to record calendar days regardless of the person being scheduled to work. Periodic reminders, tips may also be helpful and may increase knowledge even without participating in a formal OSHA record-keeping training. Thank you. If you have any questions, please contact Karen Cummings.